Hi, this is John Raby, and it's time for another special Off-Ramp podcast. This time, an interview with somebody you know but you don't know. Somebody whose name might seem vaguely familiar, and yet they're probably deeply integrated into your life. I'm talking about a man named William Link. He, with his late partner Richard Levinson, created Columbo.
Just one more thing.
And Murder, She Wrote, and Mannix, and McCloud, and Ellery Queen, the TV series. And he's got a new book out called The Columbo Collection, short stories featuring Columbo. So if you miss the series and you miss Peter Falk, this is the next best thing. I sat down to talk with him, and we're going to run a short version of this interview on Off-Ramp on the Air, but I thought you might like to listen to pretty much the whole thing. So here it is.
Oh, sir. Just one more thing.
No, Lieutenant. There is no just one more thing. Goodbye.
William Link, welcome to Off-Ramp.
Thank you so much.
You were just telling me that Columbo has such legs that now it's a theater production that even without Peter Falk, it's doing great.
It started as a theater production way back in 1959. It was produced by Paul Greger, who was a big-time Broadway producer. And it traveled all across the United States and Canada, and very successful. And then Dick and I got the idea, because the stage play is so contained, we could do it for live television. There was a writer's strike, and we said, hey, we could adapt this easy. We always say, if there hadn't been a writer's strike, we probably never would have created Columbo. But we went back to New York, and we found out there was the Chevy Mystery Show. It was a replacement for Dinah Shore. I don't know if the young people remember. Probably not, but she was a big singer back then. And the Chevy Mystery Show did 1 hour mysteries that summer. So we wrote a script called Prescription Murder that had everything in it. Columbo, raincoat, the whole personality of Columbo, and naturally a very clever murderer, a wealthy murderer, because we always played the class war. Here's the stumbling, you know, middle class, workaday cop against the wealthy. I mean, the New York Times once said it's like Columbo was captured by helicopter from Yankee Stadium, where he was watching a ball game, and dropped into a wealthy murderer's backyard in Brentwood. Brentwood is a wealthy section of Los Angeles that people don't know. But it started as a stage play, and then we adapted it for television, and that was when Peter Falk entered. We had a terrific guy playing it on the stage, Thomas Mitchell. I don't know if you remember him. Wonderful character actor. He was the father of Scarlett O'Hara in Gone with the Wind.
And he was the drunk doctor in Stagecoach.
Stagecoach, right? Yeah. And many, many other things. He had played cops. He was very good. He played it more like a leprechaun. Peter played it the way we wanted, which was a stumbling, bumbling guy who, you know, hides his brilliance.
That's interesting, though, because in Wings of Desire, Falk plays Columbo like a leprechaun.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Yes. And you saw the paintings that was in the art gallery, if I remember, in that picture. They were very good paintings, portraits of people, and they were all Peter's. He's a terrific artist, which he does as a hobby.
So the elements of Columbo. I wrote a list here.
Yes.
Maybe you can help me work this out. Because you've also, in the Columbo collection, you've written short stories, detective stories, starring
right.
Columbo.
Correct.
In exactly the TV show's voice, I think.
Yeah, well, it's the same format, except I threw in two murder mystery formats. We had never done murder mysteries on Columbo. Peter and I and Dick Levinson, my co-creator and best friend, we had decided way when we did the first pilot No murder mysteries. The format would be you see the murderer planning the murder, executing the murder. He's got the full poker hand of aces, and in comes the poor stumbling cop who doesn't even have a poker hand. And the audience wants to know, how the devil is Columbo going to trap this clever guy? That was the format.
Why did you pick that? Why does that work for Columbo?
Well, we had picked it because Dick and I like to do unique things. Hadn't been done before. The audience was amazed by two things. That format, where they know who the murderer is from the beginning. It wasn't a murder mystery. Murder mystery is a concealed murder.
Yeah.
The detective unmasks the murder at the end. You know, all the suspects in a room gathered. That's a cliche of the old traditional mysteries. No, we threw that out. And also we brought in this unique detective that nobody had quite seen before.
Well, the elements anyway. So the meal he ate, or some meal that he's eaten, that frequently
yes.
features in there.
Chili at Barney's
burp,
Beanery.
Burp, right.
And we shot at Barney's Beanery, actually, in Los Angeles.
He's always talking about his wife, but of course you never see her.
That was another pact we had with Peter. You would never see Mrs. Columbo. Because they did a TV series later, which was dreadful. They had a very attractive Canadian actress play Mrs. Columbo. We wanted, what was her name? She used to go years back with Michael Douglas, Brenda Vaccaro.
Brenda Vaccaro, yeah.
Yeah, she would have been back then a very good Mrs. Columbo. They didn't want her.
And then the other thing that really drives me crazy is that people always tell Columbo they don't have time. He's a police detective. He could, you know, they're always, and I know this stretches the story out over your hour
yes,
and a half, but
yes.
It always drives me crazy. Yes, you've got time. He's a cop. You better give him the time.
Well, Joe Wombo, very good writer, he once said to me, Bill, I like Columbo, but that series is a fantasy. And I said, Joe, it's supposed
it's
to be.
On TV.
There's never been a cop like Columbo doing things that he does, breaking all the rules. It's, it's imaginative cop. You know, it is truly a fantasy. But it worked.
It worked for years and years and years.
Yes.
And Falk just inhabits this role. And he's an amazing actor. He's a truly amazing actor with a wide range.
Brilliant actor that I think he's very underrated because, you know, he got typecast by Columbo. Once he did Columbo, he was known all over the world.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievable. South America, he told me he was once filming a feature motion picture for Columbia Pictures in some very small South American country, and they went on location, and when he left his trailer and walked out to do it, people came running out of their huts, Columbo, Columbo, and Peter said, I had to check whether they had television aerials on their huts. But that shows you the popularity of that character.
Why was the show an hour and a half and not an hour?
That was its best format, an hour and a half. Usually when it became 2 hours, we had to stretch more in the middle, which I didn't like, Dick didn't like, and certainly Peter Falk didn't like. The problem was, and it came back to Peter, he was then the highest paid actor on American television. And NBC was picking up the license fee. That's a technical thing in the television industry. And, that was okay for the hour and a half format, but when you went to 2 hours, that really stretched what he was getting. And they didn't like that, but it was such a hit, they succumbed. And also, he was the 800-pound gorilla,
yeah.
And they always get their bananas. You know, so they threw him the bananas.
In the updated stories, you include updated elements like cell phones.
Correct.
You decided not to just set it in the 70s or the 80s?
No, I didn't set it back then. You make it now because I think readers want things to happen now.
Well, cell phones are funny anyway.
Yes, that's true. It's funny and sometimes hard.
He loses it. He puts it in the pocket.
Yeah, it's perfect for Columbo.
Yeah. I do have to ask, how is Peter Falk doing? There was some ugliness before about conservatorship and so on. Do you have contact with him?
We are very friendly with his wonderful wife, Shara. In fact, my wife is going to have lunch with Shara next week. Peter has been ailing, and we wish him, I think millions of fans wish him the very best.
Enough said. That's fine.
Yeah.
Of all the things that you've done, you say Columbo is the one you'd be happy to put on your gravestone.
Well, actually, my late partner, Dick Levinson, said that. We had created 14 on-the-air television series, which I think is a record to this day. And then when Dick passed on, I had two more before I retired. So altogether, I've had 16. And that was wonderful. I mean, I felt it's a record.
I was trying to think of the other one. So there's Columbo, of course. There's Mannix, right?
Mannix, we were practically kids. That got on the air 8 years on CBS. Wonderful star. They're doing a box set of Mannix now. And they came to the house and filmed me talking about how we came up with the idea and the whole thing and how we sold it, etc. And that was fun. And we had other big hits, Honey West, Aaron's Spelling Show. We had losers, too, let me tell you, in those 16. They weren't all hits.
What were the worst?
Well, there's one we had at Metro that David Victor produced, who was a well-known producer in those days. Jericho was called. It was about a commando group that goes into Nazi-infested Paris during the Second World War.
Good premise.
Yeah, it was sort of out of our line, though. You know, we usually have, you know, guys in rooms, you know, facing murderers like Columbo, which was good for production because they were cheaper to shoot.
Yeah.
We did McLeod, which was a hit for Universal. The Bold Ones, we did that. What else can I dredge up here? Maybe some of the misses that we had, the losses.
Were the losses bad because they're just bad, or they just didn't hit?
Well, sometimes you see they would put you against, like what was the series we had against Sonny and Cher when they got back together again? That was the worst time to be opposite them, and naturally we failed. Then once we had a show, I don't remember, that the president of NBC at that time didn't particularly like mysteries. So we didn't last very long there. What can you do? I mean, the powers that be. You can have all those hits, but you're still the seller. You know, you come in hat in hand. And or baseball cap in hand, as the young writers have these days, and you lose. So what can you do? It's a buyer's business.
Doesn't like mysteries.
No,
I don't like sports. No more sports. I don't like that.
Well, I co-produced with Bill Cosby the Cosby Mysteries for NBC a couple years back. And that was a great experience. He was one of the best guys I ever worked with, Bill Cosby. He was the most generous, I can't tell you.
And he's got a little experience.
Oh, yeah.
He knows TV.
Oh, yeah. But again, then we had a president of NBC who treated Cosby like a busboy. I can't believe it. Didn't advertise the show. And we were one season, we were a flop. Cosby made me an actor on that show. Because through the years, various directors, including Steven Spielberg, said, I want you to act. And I said to Steven, last time I acted was in dramatic club, you know, in high school.
Yeah.
Not an actor. He said, look, I'll give you a shot of scotch. And Bill, it's me. We're friends. How bad could it be? You'll take the direction from me. And that was all true. Finally, after he did the huge hit Jaws, which he wanted us to write, and we turned down. Can you believe that kind of stupidity? I mean, we were like lobotomized in those days, I think. He also gave us his first picture that he wanted us to write, which is The one about the cops following the fugitives. Don't remember. But so finally, Cosby said to me, "You're going to act." So I played Ben Sapolsky, which was the name of his chemistry teacher, I believe, in his high Central High in Philadelphia, where he went to school. And I got more raves about my acting, and I'm saying, hey, but what about the script, which I'd co-written with a good writer? And, everyone talk about my acting on the show. And I found out then that I hated the memorization, but the acting was so easy compared to writing. I mean, you got your take on how you want to play it on the character and what the character is. It's fun. Writing's hard work, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. So then, you know, I really got the scam on how easy actors have it. Not to put down terrific actors. I mean, they've got something that an amateur like I could never duplicate.
Well, but also with acting, you're generally working with other people. If you're not doing a one-man show, this is much more fun doing an interview in person, for instance, than by ISDN, or doing a monologue on the radio. Working with somebody is much more fun, and writing is a solitary craft.
Yeah, except I had Dick Levinson, and he had Bill Link. So with us, it wasn't solitary.
Did you two work in the same room when you were writing?
Of course. For 43 years until his death. Huh. And I still miss him to this day. I dream about him a couple times a week. Still producing. We met the first day of junior high school. We were writing that afternoon. Unbelievable.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and we had all the same people that we really liked in the business. Billy Wilder, we were great fans of him. We studied his scripts when we were kids. How to do good work. We were huge movie music fans. We would go to see the work of Miklos Rozsa. I don't know if you remember him, big composer.
Yep.
And just to hear the scores. And I got to tell you, a lot of Rozsa's scores were a lot better than the movies they accompanied. And I had really an honor to spend an afternoon with Mickey Rozsa at his home in the Hollywood Hills. A few years before he passed on, and that was great.
Who would do the typing? Would both of you type? Would one
Dick
of you type?
Dick always typed. Huh. And when Dick died, computers were coming in. And that would not work for Dick, I saw right off the bat, because Dick loved to hammer the keys on the typewriter. Huh. We both had the same typewriter. It was a Swiss make. But I think what might have convinced him if I worked on him, and he could be a stubborn SOB, was the changes are so fast. Typewriter, you got to retype the whole page.
Yep.
That might have been the convincer with him. You make a change in a second. It's so easy. That might have done it. But I'm not so sure.
It also changes the way you think and type, though. I think it's a totally different creative process.
Yeah, but we would have worked the same way.
Come here, watch what I mean. Come here, if I show it to you, you'll see what I mean. I'm going to take the letter S here, and I'm going to type over the original S. Take a look. You see what I mean? The second S doesn't match with the first S.
That's because you rolled the paper back in wrong after you took it out.
That paper is just the way we found it.
What were the typewriters? Were they Hermes?
They were Hermes. You got it.
Got one upstairs.
Really?
Yep.
I still have mine. I'm sure Dick's widow still has Dick's somewhere.
Did you use the portable, the Hermes
portable.
Rocket?
The portable.
Oh, I'll have to bring it down so you can.
I prefer, I type now on the Big Apple table model. And I'm still writing short stories. All of them are published and in the mystery magazines and stage plays. I wrote his second Columbo play, Columbo Takes the Rap. It's very contemporary. It's Columbo and two big rappers, black rappers, naturally. And that was a big hit at the International Mystery Festival a couple of years ago. And that might be done in London. We don't know yet. It's probably far off. But we will see.
What elements does a good TV show have to have? If you're creating one, do you have a list in your head?
Sure. Number one, the star. I don't care how good the writing is, the star is everything. People tune in to see the people they want in their living rooms. They become, you know, friends with through the tube. And that's, you know, that's very, very important. Likeability, and they appreciate good acting. Writing, they really don't know from. They know shows are written, that these actors just don't, you know, come up with everything. Although I'm told on the Larry David show, that's the way it works. It's mostly ad lib on that show. Hard to believe, because it's so funny. And they got punchlines and everything. But maybe. They can film a lot and cut. Editing is crucial, as Dick and I learned very early in the film business. Editorially, you can do a lot of things. We once had a movie of the week we were very proud of. It was the first picture about homosexuality, called That Certain Summer, with Hal Holbrook and Martin Sheen as gay lovers. 1973. I mean, the week got that on the air. Barry Diller did it. He was head of Movies of the Week, and he had to fight his own network to get that show on the air, which he did. ABC affiliates that night got bomb threats from people. Don't put that filth on the air. Can you believe it? They were two gay, sympathetic characters showing that gay people are not monsters with horns. Far from it. So that was one of the best things we ever did. It was a movie of the week. I'm still very proud of that show.
Well, my husband and I thank you. Thanks for doing that.
Very
I'm serious.
Good. Very good.
Thank you.
Yes.
I did want to ask you about the character. You've seen Les Diaboliques with it's
years
the Clouseau
years,
movie.
Years, French picture, years
right.
and years.
With a very Columbo-esque kind of character. And I didn't know if that contributed to your creation of Columbo.
No, we got Columbo, and if you reread the book, Dostoevsky's classic Crime and Punishment, we got it from Inspector Petrovich in that book. In fact, when the Brits came over, BBC, not that long ago, they were the first people in an interview ever to ask me to read Petrovich. And you saw right there the seeds of Columbo. Oh, he says to the student, you know, the murderer, oh, well, you know, you're an educated man, and I'm not. I'm just a bureaucrat. Now, what were you doing that time? You can see Columbo. You can hear him in your own mind as you read it.
So that's where Clouseau got it. Yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah. That's good. Again, we're talking with William Link, the author of The Columbo Collection. Bill, why'd you write this book with these short stories, these detective stories?
Because I'd written many, many crime stories after Dick died, even before that. And I loved to write short stories. And I sold all of them. And then it occurred to me one day, what an idiot. The most popular character we ever created was Columbo. So I sat down and wrote. I have now 29 Columbo short stories. There are 12 published in my new book, The Columbo Collection. And if people are interested in reading it, all the stories are brand new, unique. None of them are based on the television series. And if you liked the television series with all the clever clues and what Falk called the big pop ending, that's the big clue that nails the murderer, they're all new in these short stories. They're published by Crippen Landrieu, but the best way is to get them on Amazon, and it's cheaper too.
Okay. Well, in fact,
that's my plug.
That's fine. We've got a special link that people can use with Amazon to buy the book.
Oh, great.
Gets you all the money you deserve.
And
I think
most of it goes to the publisher.
And some of it goes to KPCC as well.
Listeners, buy the book. It's good.
I love in the short stories, too, there's always one or two little details. I learned something. Like there's a story called Grief.
Yes.
And there's a support group for people who've lost their pets. I never
Correct.
Thought about that.
There is.
And I'm sure it's a real thing.
There are support groups. Yeah. Yeah, that's, I didn't have to make that up. They really exist. And I can see why. I'm a big dog lover, as is my wife. And people need it. You lose a pet, oh, I still think of the pet we lost a few years back. It was the best pet, bonded with me, my dog Sam. Mm. Wherever I was, he had to be with me. He had to have a paw resting on me. Absolutely incredible.
That's nice.
Incredible.
You've had some good friends in your life. Two legs, four legs.
Yes, yes. Well, I also had a lot of human friends, good friends in my life too.
Yeah.
And that's very important, especially as you get a bit older.
Well, William Link, it's been a pleasure talking with you on Off-Ramp.
It's been a pleasure talking to you. Let's do it again sometime.
That's the co-creator of Columbo, William Link, joining us at the Moen Broadcast Center for a special Off-Ramp podcast. If you want to buy the Columbo collection, a selection of 12 Columbo stories that bring you right back to the glory days of Peter Falk and Columbo, then go to kpcc.org and click on Off-Ramp. We've got a link there where you can buy it from Amazon and help KPCC. Also, we've got information there about William Link's upcoming conversation with, this sounds really interesting, Christopher Rice. They're going to be at the West Hollywood Book Fair on Sunday, September 26th. That's something you may want to check out too. Got all the information at kpcc.org. Click on Off-Ramp. And thanks for tuning in for this special Off-Ramp podcast. I'm John Raby.